Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you go and talk to other Christians from, let me call it, mainline churches, the doctrine of the Trinity is not very contentious. That becomes very different when you go further afield and talk about your faith with, for instance, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Mormons, or Jews, or Muslims. You guys believe in three gods, they will say. And you say, no, I believe in one God. But this one God exists in three distinguished persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They will look at you and say, do you really know what you're talking about? How does that make any sense? How can God have a son? That's just ridiculous. That's blasphemous thinking, your Muslim friend will tell you. It's difficult to explain, is it not? Perhaps you start wondering how important it actually is to hang on to this idea of God as triune God, even though you realize that it was one of the first doctrinal issues the church in the early centuries had to struggle with, the nature, the person, and the character of God, as we get to know him in his word, the Bible. Indeed, as we meditate on this mind-boggling confession that we believe in one God in three persons, it is good to remember that the church did not make this up. No, this is how God speaks about himself in his word. The Belgic Confession devotes an entire article to prove this. This does not change the fact that we cannot comprehend this doctrine of the Trinity. We can talk about it. We can discuss it. We can try to describe the astounding glory and greatness of the triune God, but we will never be able to explain it. And that's okay. After all, God is much bigger than we are. And the purpose of knowing him is not to understand him, but to praise and worship him. This is so beautiful in hymn 4. We praise you, God the Father. We praise you, God the Son. We praise you, God the Spirit, one God Almighty, Trinity, holy, unity, unbroken. But why would we do so? Why should we praise him as the triune God? Well, look at what he does as triune God. This is not only amazing when you come to think of it, it is also incredibly comforting. And so it is good to meditate with Lord's Day 8 on what God is doing in your life. Then you will learn to praise him. For you will see the abundant blessings in your life from God, your Creator and Father, and from God, your Savior, and from God, your Renewer. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We'll see the blessing of your creation, the blessing of your redemption, the blessing of your renewal. Congregation, how do you live your daily life? No, I'm not asking what you do for a living. But do you ever ask yourself questions like, what do I live for? Does my life have a purpose? Is there a deeper meaning to what's going on? Where is my life going? What are the things that make my life worth living? You may run into a lot of folks who don't really care about these things, or at least they pretend they don't care. Some avoid those questions because they're afraid of the confrontation with themselves. Many just float around in this world aimlessly, and our hedonistic society promotes this way of living. As long as you're having fun today, as long as it feels good today, don't think too much about the future, and definitely not about the past. But sometimes, all of a sudden, it hits home. A disaster, a broken relationship, a sudden death in your family, an accident, a deadly disease. It shakes you up and leaves you scrambling for answers. What are we headed for? What's the purpose of it all? Is there anybody at the wheel when the world seems to go crazy? That can be triggered by what is going on in the world, but also by things happening in your own life or the lives of your children or siblings. Difficult questions. And yet, as I said, many people don't even bother asking. Nevertheless, there are times in your life that you just can't avoid it. Now here is the question. Do these experiences and the questions triggered by these things, do they have anything to do with what we believe about God as a triune God? Does the doctrine of the Trinity make any difference when I struggle with these questions and issues? Yes, it does. But you will only be able to see this when you do not deal with the confession about the Trinity as some sort of theological construction. That's why it is so helpful that we talk about God as the triune God within the framework of speaking about the Apostles' Creed. For this brief confession covers, in just 12 short articles, everything in your life from the very beginning to the very end. Yes, it covers everything that is really significant in your life between being created and entering life. What we believe about the Trinity is so fantastic because it shows you that God himself is directly involved in your life form from the moment that you were created till the moment you will be ushered into everlasting joy. And so God is actively involved in your life as God the Father, and as God the Son, and as God the Holy Spirit. Not as three different, disconnected, and separate powers, but as the one holy God who has revealed himself for your benefit in these three holy and unified persons. It is this active involvement that makes confessing the Trinity such a tremendous comfort, such a great source of hope and strength. For it means that the Holy Almighty God is near you at all times in your life. God is the one who stands at the very beginning of your life. He is the Almighty Creator. He made this world and everything in it. He created the whole universe. We have the story of this powerful divine work in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is how it all began. But it's not only in Genesis 1. Throughout Scripture, God is praised and honored as the Creator. We have read in Isaiah 45, this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God apart from me. Note that Isaiah says that God did not create the world to be empty, but to be inhabited. This earth is filled with life. Living creatures everywhere. Plants, fish, birds, mammals, and yes, human beings. And that was unique, for God created man in his image. He created Adam and Eve, and then their children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and on. God created you. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, you have not randomly and accidentally evolved into this world. No, God made you personally, with personal attention. He put you here to be like him. But he did not leave it at that. He also established this relationship with his human creatures that we call the covenant. God committed himself to man as he promised to guide him, to provide for him and care for him as his God, to show him his favor and to love him. The other side of this, of course, that God expected man to honor him and obey him with his love. He instructed Adam and his wife Eve as to how they should live and act as his image. Sometimes people say that they don't care for such a formal covenant concept with its obligations and rules. They prefer the warmth of a personal love relationship with God, but that's a false dilemma. There is no contrast here. Within this covenant relationship, God is a caring father who reaches out to each of his children with personal affection and deep love. But what is really amazing is that this did not really change after man fell into sin. Oh, sure, the fall into sin did have devastating consequences. There's our sinful nature, hatred, violence, and disobedience. We deserve God's terrible wrath and punishment. We face the dreadful power of death. And yet the bottom line is still the same. God Almighty is the creator of heaven and earth. And not just as a fact from the past, like that's what he did before everything turned bad. No, today, in this world ruined by the power of sin, you may confess that God is your creator. Yes, he was personally involved in your creation. He made you as you are, with your own capabilities and responsibilities. He made you with a purpose. He He made you for His purpose. And that's not complicated, not at all. It's pretty simple, actually. Love the Lord, and love your neighbor, wherever you'll find yourself in life. Indeed, you are not just aimlessly floating around in life, thrown into this dark world, and uselessly drifting around till you die and disappear in the grave. Again, as I said, the damage of sin is terrible, and the consequences for each one of us, as well as for the whole world, are disastrous. By nature, we have lost our sense of purpose and direction. By nature, we have lost our connection with reality, the reality of God's presence as the creator and the sustainer of life. As a matter of fact, we are so affected by our sinful nature that we tend to think that the real world is a world without God. That's what people say, right? Get real, man. There's no God. But that's not real. That is our human narrow-mindedness. God cannot be eliminated. He is present, the almighty creator of heaven and earth. And the awesome miracle is that God did not abandon his world when man threw himself and all his descendants in the dark abyss of sin. God did not abandon his creation, the work of his hands. And in this sinful and broken world, God kept his commitment. He maintained his relationship with people, the covenant, as a covenant of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. In other words, and this is the most wonderful news for sinful people, God, your creator, did not abandon you. No, through Jesus Christ, the Almighty God is still your Father. Through Jesus Christ, God will always be your Heavenly Father, a Father who is full of loving care for you, who provides for you from day to day, and who continues to give you hope for the future. Here again, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 45. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength, and in the Lord all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exult. And so we praise God, from whom all blessings flow, as he stands at the very beginning of your life with the blessing of your creation. From his word you may know him as your creator and your father. From day to day he carries you and holds you in his hands. When you know this God, you know where you came from and where you are going. You know what you live for, and you know that your life serves a grand purpose, God's purpose. Knowing God means that you know that his fatherly care and love makes your life worth living and exciting, not only today, but also in the future. As we move on and continue to meditate on the blessings that flow from the reality that God, our God, is a triune God, we look in the second point at the blessing that God is also your Savior, your Redeemer. I mentioned already that after the fall into sin, God did not abandon his creation. He was our God and Father, and he still wants to be. After he created us, and we messed it up big time by all our sins and disobedience, he did not give up on his people. This is really unbelievable if you come to think of it. The holy God who stands at the beginning of your life, who created you, he does not leave you to yourself just to die in your sin without hope. Imagine that God would have said, I created you, I gave you a great start, and now you are on your own. Take care of yourself. What do you say? You messed up? And now you are in trouble? Well, that's your problem. No, this is not our God. He continues to go with you. God Almighty reveals himself as your Redeemer, because it takes divine power to accomplish this. How? Look at Jesus Christ. It began immediately after we fell into sin. God said to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That's why the prophet Isaiah can speak about him as God and Savior of Israel. And he can say, Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgrace to ages everlasting. This is your new reality in Jesus Christ. We learn that in the triune God, there is also God the Son, your Savior. He is the one with God the Father, but he is not identical with him. When we say this, we are at the edge of what we can comprehend. But we need to make this distinction. God the Father sent his Son, God the Son, into this world, and the Son obeyed the Father. Do you see the deep love of our triune God? Jesus coming into this world shows that God the Father continues to take care of this world. He continues to take care of you, whom he created in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God for the miracle of his love and mercy. In Jesus Christ, God himself continues to be near you, to save you from the power of sin and from its miserable consequences, and to restore your peace with your Father. Yes, we have become sinners, but the Holy and Almighty God, your Creator, did not want to leave you in the frightening darkness you had thrown yourself into, but to get you out of there required nothing less than divine power. You could not do it yourself. You would never be able to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and save yourself from the power of sin. And so God your Father sent his Son to become one of us. The eternal Son of the Most High, the second person of the Trinity, entered this world as the Son of David, born as the Son of the Virgin Mary. He came here as true man and true God at the same time. That was the way God himself chose for your salvation, the miraculous way of reconciliation by his grace and mercy in Jesus. We don't make this up. We would never be able to think of something like this. Oh no, in his word, God himself surprises us. He reveals that your Savior Jesus is indeed not only man, but also true God. He really is. Many who would call themselves Christians see Jesus as just a man, a wonderful man, a wise man, an inspiring moral teacher, or a political or social rebel, whatever people make of him, but a man. However, that's not what the Bible says. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul sings that Christ Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Praise the triune God for the blessing of your redemption. God the Son guarantees that your salvation is true and real and beyond any doubt. Jesus Christ alone, the eternal Son of God, he can do it. He alone and no one else. As Peter proclaims in Acts 4, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And not only that he can do it, he actually did it. He really did. The miracle of God's love and grace unfolded when Jesus went his way to Golgotha. When he went his way of terrible suffering and utter loneliness in our place. When he took upon himself the burden of God's wrath, the punishment for all our sins. When he died on the cross as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When he sacrificed himself for lost sinners. In the horrible agony of being forsaken by God the Father in the dark hours of Golgotha, God the Son paid the price to set you free from the destructive powers of hell. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The gracious love of God the Father, who created you, goes with you and stays with you in God the Son when he paves the way of mercy and forgiveness. Do you see the Trinity at work in your life, brothers and sisters? Jesus Christ, the Holy God, is your Redeemer. That's why your forgiveness is real forgiveness, now already. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, says Paul. Oh, I know, it's only the beginning, but your forgiveness is real, and it is new every day through the redeeming power of God the Son. And one day your redemption and forgiveness by grace alone will be completed and publicly confirmed for everyone to see and hear. That will be the great day when Jesus will return, not in humility, not in humble nature of a servant, but then all human eyes will see the glory of the eternal Son of God, who will show his divine power and majesty. Do you live with this hope? Do you live with this perspective? Do you follow your Savior where he calls you to go? You can do so, for he who calls you is the Son of God, With his divine power, he goes with you. And as you stumble on in faith, he will open your eyes for the blessing of your redemption. As we continue to think about the blessings that flow from the triune God, and we want to look at what I have mentioned as the third blessing, the blessing of your renewal, we need to backtrack a little bit. At the beginning of your life, we saw God standing as your creator and caring father. Ever since that beginning, he governs everything, including your personal life. Then as life goes on, devastated, ruined by the power of sin, we also saw God coming in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He died on the cross and rose from the dead to save you, to bring about the miracle of your forgiveness. But it does raise a few questions. To begin with, how do you know for sure that all this grace and forgiveness, how can you be sure that it is not only real, but also real for you? And another question is, are you from now on supposed to find your own way? Where do you go from here? I mean, God created you, you fell into sin, God granted forgiveness, so what's next? Do you keep on sinning and keep coming back every day for more forgiveness? Did anything change? Here we learn from God's word about the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, and about his work. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. In other words, through God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son work together. Together they want to make sure that their work in your creation and redemption will be completed. The Holy Triune God continues to be involved in your life so that what started well will also end well in your renewal. In the Holy Spirit, God himself enters your life to give you true faith, for it is by faith alone that you can say, yes, I know for sure Jesus is mine, and I am his. And the work that he completed on the cross, he also did for me. In the Holy Spirit, God comes to you to renew your heart and life that you may repent, turn around, fight with good courage against your sins, and follow Jesus. No, you don't just do this on your own. You cannot. The power of the Holy God alone can bring about this drastic and radical change in your heart and life that the Bible calls new birth and regeneration. And then the same divine power is required again and again to keep you on track, to make you grow, and in the end, to usher you into eternal life. Here again, the Holy and Almighty God surprises us. In his word, he reveals that the Holy Spirit is indeed God. That's how it is possible that by dwelling in your heart, he brings about the blessings of your faith, the blessings of your renewal, the blessings of your growth in holy living. This is so amazing. You hear God's word. You either grow up with it as a child in a Christian family, or you encounter it later in life. But either way, you hear God's word. And through this word, God the Holy Spirit convicts you. Yes, this is what I believe. This is what I want to hang on to in my life. Yes, Jesus Christ is the one I want to follow all my life. Yes, I want to commit my life to God as a living member of his church. Why is it so comforting to confess the Trinity? Here is the astounding reality, my brother, my sister. The Holy and Almighty God embraces you as your creator, your savior, and your renewer. The triune God is for you. He is with you. He carries you from the beginning to the end of your life on earth. You are not alone. You are never alone. As you make your way from your creation to your entrance into eternal joy, the journey may be tough, but the three persons of the one true eternal God are with you every step of the way. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, day and night, till you cross the finish. Amen.